Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Vidana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Vidana Vallabha Giribhara Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Giribhara Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Hari Vidagacharya Astatarasata Sri Srimad's Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Kid Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Kid Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Kid Samvita Bhaktavrinda Kid Yatai Gorpemanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Rakta, can you move your chair? Because you're right in the way of the camera. Get a nice picture of the back of your head. Okay. Someone can monitor the little children in the back that don't understand that kirtan is over. Hare Krishna. So, I thought I would speak something about Lord Chaitanya. Because for this festival of the Holy Name, that's we're going to be celebrating here while the Taste of Chicago is going on down there. We're the Taste of the Holy Name over here. And Lord Chaitanya is the one who delivered this process of chanting the Holy Name, especially, not that it wasn't here before, but especially gifted this chanting of the Holy Name as the primary means for this age, for purifying ourselves and gradually qualifying ourselves to restore our original God consciousness. So I thought of appreciating Lord Chaitanya in the same way that a great Vaishnava scholar, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, appreciated Lord Chaitanya. For those of you that knew, those of you that are first time here, I'll try to speak something simple, because who knows who is Lord Chaitanya and who is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and it's all different, new. On our altar, on our left side, are the deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and their arms are raised as they're chanting while dancing while chanting the holy name of Krishna. Our Vaishnava scriptures, our devotional teachings, give us this explanation that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. I'm making a distinction here between those who are situated in the spiritual world, forms of God situated in the spiritual world, and they descend. Krishna consciousness is monotheistic. We don't hold the view that there are many sources of everything. There's one source of everything, and that one source of everything is God. Different religions have different nomenclature and different ideas of that same one person. There's one supreme person. And by definition, that one supreme person, or the absolute truth, is the source of everything spiritual and material. Whatever is comes from him. There's two things, God and that which comes from God, and there's not a third thing. Prabhupada explained it this way. There's no void in the creation of God. That means a third thing. That which comes from God, and God, and then something else. There are religions that teach entering into the void. You've heard of some of them before? According to the Vedic wisdom, these ancient scriptures that we are teaching and studying, there's a place, it's not nothingness, it's a place where there's a divide between the spiritual and the material world. The river Viraja in Sanskrit, or the Karana ocean, where Karana Dakshayi Vishnu is residing and presiding. It's on this shore, the ocean has two shores. On this shore is the material, and the other side is the spiritual realm. And the river Viraja is the dividing place between the two. So those who wish to enter into the void, you're neither here nor there. They're in the river Viraja. Interesting. So back to Lord Chaitanya. He comes from the spiritual world, the spiritual side of the causal ocean, or the Karana ocean. And like other forms, from time to time, Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, they descend in this world. Many of you have heard of the movie Avatar. It's a Sanskrit word. It's a nice title for a movie, but it's even better. It's a name that means a form of God that descends from the spiritual world, Avatar, from the spiritual world into this material realm. And all of the avatars have their abode in that spiritual realm, and according to time and circumstance, they may descend to this realm and perform activities and then return to their spiritual realm. So one of them is Lord Chaitanya on our altar here. And Lord Chaitanya has a very unique position in that he's not just any form of God that descends in this world, but he's the original source of all the forms of God, as is Krishna. He's Krishna himself. So those of you that came for the first time, you received a Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is also unique scripture. Most scriptures are speaking about God. This is God speaking about himself. I don't know of any other scripture like that. It's quite unique. And he's disclosing the nature of the creation and the nature of the spiritual world. More about the entanglement that we have in this material world and the means to get relief from the entanglement of the material world. But an essential part of that is to fix the mind upon the Supreme. And so you have to know something about the Supreme to fix your mind on the Supreme. So Krishna discloses his identity in various ways within the Bhagavad Gita. I hope you enjoy reading it. And if there are some questions that you have from reading it, please do come and visit again and ask those questions. The concluding teaching of Bhagavad Gita, you'll find in the last chapter, there's 18 chapters, and the concluding teaching that Krishna gives is that there are so many varieties of principles that are elevating, that are religious principles that help elevate the soul. All of them are subordinate to one principle. That one principle is surrendering oneself, the soul, unto the Supreme Soul, unto Krishna. So after Krishna appears and speaks the Bhagavad Gita, he wishes for the people who are in this particular age, called Kali Yuga, or the age of quarrel, to understand how to do that, how to surrender to Krishna. So he comes himself in the role of a devotee of himself and shows how to surrender to Krishna. And most importantly and most effectively is the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared is geographically in kind of the northeastern part of India, today's India, a place called Navadvip. I'm studying a text which I'm going to be giving a seminar on later this year called Sri Brahma Samhita. And in Sri Brahma Samhita, it specifically describes the spiritual world and the surrounding area around the spiritual world, the central, just like a flower has a whorl from which petals come. The central part is where Radha and Krishna are together. The petals are like the residential places of the primary assistants or associates of Krishna, the gopis. And then there's the, it's not like suburbs, but it's still part of Goloka Vrindavan called Swetadvip. Swetadvip means white island. It's pure. It's transcendental, beyond anything created and destroyed in modes of nature and material. There's no touch of the material energy there. In that outer region surrounding the central whorl and the petals, there are the forms of the Lord as they appear in each age to give the means of achieving the spiritual world. There, the Yuga avatars, those who descend specifically to give the primary means of deliverance, they reside in that Svetadvipa area. Their eternal residence is there. And one of those personalities is Lord Chaitanya. So he descends to teach the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And he teaches it by his own example. So a personality who was born well before Lord Chaitanya, in fact, as old as his grandfather, was a great, great scholar named Sarvabhauma. This is actually Sarvabhauma was a title. The name was Vasudev. But his title, Sarvabhauma, is a title given to someone who's extremely learned. And he had a second title, Bhattacharya, also meaning greatly learned. A greatly learned person. Super learned. In a place, Navadvip, it was like, to make it easy for us here, like an Ivy League school, something like that. You know, a seat of high learning, known throughout the whole of the country, as super scholars live here, and if you want to learn, go study with the super scholars in Navadvip. And he was the best scholar amongst them. Scholarship at the time was based upon the Vedas, not rocket science, but the Vedas. And there are six principal derivations, scholarly derivations from the Vedas. Sarvabhauma had mastered five of them, and one of them he hadn't mastered. This is going to lose some of the new people, but that school was the Nyaya school, the school of logic. And there was another place in North India, North Central India, that was renowned for being expert in knowing Nyaya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya visited there and requested the scholars there to teach him the science of Nyaya. Now, it's one of the rules of a Brahmin or a scholar, I mean, not today's scholars, but really qualified Vedic scholars, is if someone approaches you to be your student, he takes that humble position. You're obliged to teach him. Just like a warrior, if challenged, is obliged to fight. It's a code of honor. So when Sarvabhauma, Mr. Super Scholar, went to this place that had the exclusive on Nyaya, they were a little reluctant, but they had to, because it's the liberalism of a Brahmana. So they taught him the whole science. And then he asked him for a copy of the book. And they said, no, you can't have a copy of the book. But they didn't know that he had a perfect memory. He had just read the book, and so when he went back home, he just wrote it down from memory. And now he became like super, super, super scholar, because he had now was the master of all six of the darshans, or doctrines, by which one may try to approach the Vedas and explain it. He was so superlative in his scholarship that the king, I'm pointing this way, south in Orissa, the king of Orissa invited him to become his chief priest. So Sarvabhauma accepted. This is before Lord Chaitanya was born in Navadvip. He left Navadvip and went to Jagannath Puri, where he resided and was the chief priest of the king of the time. Prataparudra was his name. He was such a scholar that he had thousands of sannyasi students. He was training the sannyasis. He was such a scholar. And many and many other persons. It's like big scholar. Some time passed, Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip, the son of Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mishra. After some time, when he became 24 years of age, towards the end of his 24th year, Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas and was requested by his mother, Sachi, not to go to Vrindavan, but instead to go to Puri. And her reasoning was, if you go to Vrindavan, I may never see you or even hear of you again. The distance between my home and Navadvip, between my home and Vrindavan, is so far. But between Navadvip and Puri, many people from our area, they go to Puri for Rath Yatra every year. Just like, I don't know if some of you have noticed, but Jai Jagannath isn't here because he went to Puri to attend Rath Yatra. And it's really hot. And I warned him, phew, really hot. He said, I'm prepared. So many devotees from Bengal, they go to Puri for Rath Yatra, and then when they come back, I'll get news of you. And maybe sometimes you'll also come here, because many people from Orissa, they like to come to the Ganges and take bath in the Ganges, and from time to time you may come, and then I may see you. So please go to Puri. So he accepted his mother's request. He headed for Puri. It's a wonderful and a long story. I'm just going to illustrate a little part of it to get to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya part. When Lord Chaitanya entered Puri, he entered alone. There was a little episode with that one on the left side, Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya had entrusted his sannyas rod, his danda. Please hold my staff. I want to cross the river and go take darshan of some deities on the other side. I've heard there's some nice temples over there. So our Lord Nityananda was holding his danda and started having this madman's conversation with the danda. Saying, who are you, you impudent personality? My Lord Chaitanya, he's God himself. What does he need a staff of renunciation for? And undergoing austerities? He's the Supreme Lord. He's the enjoyer of everything. You have no place in his life. And he broke the danda in three places and threw it in the river. Lord Chaitanya came back in an ecstatic mood, having seen these beautiful deities and chanting Krishna's holy name. And as they got to a certain further distance south, heading, they could see the top of the dome of the temple. And immediately Lord Chaitanya paid obeisances, seeing the dome of the temple, turned to Lord Nityananda and requested, may I have my danda? I want to enter the temple carrying my danda. And Lord Nityananda said, whoops. In a mood of ecstasy, you fell on the danda and it broke in several places, and it was my mistake. I'm very sorry. You can punish me as you wish. So Lord Chaitanya said, what have you done? My only possession is my danda, and you've lost it and broken it. I don't want to travel anymore. You go ahead of me, and I'll come after you to the temple, or I'll go ahead of you, and you follow me later, but I don't want to travel with you anymore. It was a leela, so that he could enter the temple alone. It's a leela. The whole thing is a leela. The danda conversation and everything. So they all said, no, 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 no. You go. We'll stay behind. So Lord Chaitanya entered the temple. In fact, there's this nice verse composed by Lord Chaitanya when feeling separation in the mood of the lovers of Krishna in Vrindavan, as he approached the temple, he was running like the wind. But it seemed like thousands and thousands and thousands of years were passing as in anticipation of seeing Lord Jagannath. And when he entered the temple and saw Lord Jagannath, he saw Krishna standing there holding a flute. And he called out, "Krishna!" and ran with his arms outstretched like this, as you see, wanting to embrace Krishna. And he was in such a state of ecstasy, he fell to the ground unconscious. When he fell to the ground unconscious, the guards in the temple didn't know what to do. They thought the man was crazy or wild, or so they were going to pick him up, take him out of the temple. And just as he was about to be taken out of the temple by the guards, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came in, again, of age like his grandfather. And because of his position as the chief priest of the king, his word, everyone listened. He said, no, don't take him out. I'll take care of him. Bring this elevated person, this sannyasi, to my home. I'll attend to him. Now, Sarvabhauma was a scholar of many things, including medical science. So while Lord Chaitanya was lying flat in a state of ecstatic trance and of love of God, Sarvabhauma wanted to see if he was cheating. So he knew how to test him. He took some cotton and just some little fibers of cotton and put the cotton before his nostrils. The reason being, if someone is faking, then their breathing will show the in and out motion of air through the nostrils. But if he's in trance, then the life airs are suspended. There's no movement of air. And there was no movement of air. So we can understand this isn't a person pretending. This is a very, very elevated soul. Meanwhile, Lord Nityananda and the other associates that were traveling with Lord Chaitanya, they went into the temple of Jagannath and they inquired, "Have you seen a sannyasi very tall and golden in complexion and exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy? Have you seen him?" "Oh, yes. We took him to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." So very quickly they went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, which is very near to the temple. And there they saw Lord Chaitanya lying. They knew what to do. Have kirtan. When in doubt, have kirtan. And when you're not in doubt, have kirtan. So they had kirtan. Chanting of Krishna's holy name. That's what kirtan means. Chant the holy name of Krishna. And as they were chanting and chanting and chanting, Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness. So many nice details, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Lord Chaitanya, "Please don't enter the temple alone anymore. Always come with me. I will accompany you, or one of my assistants will accompany you. So you'll be, everything will be all right when you go to the temple. Go to the temple, take darshan of the deity, come back, and we'll like to offer you prasadam," because this is culture. A sannyasi is received in that way. "And your associates also can accompany you." So as he was gone to see Lord Jagannath, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and his name was Gopinath.
Gopinathacharya, brother-in-law. So he asked Gopinathacharya, do you know this young sannyasi? Do you know what line of sannyas he's taken and what his family is? Little, you know, like his biography, little background on him. And Gopinathacharya said his grandfather is Purandara Mishra. Oh, I know that person. He was a very dear friend of mine. So this boy is just like my son. So his affection immediately went there like a family member, like that. And when he heard that he had taken sannyas from a particular sannyasi in the Bharati Sampradaya, he said, oh, that's not a very elevated line of sannyas. I know all the mantras, and I can give him a better sannyas if he wants. And Gopinathacharya was very unhappy with his brother-in-law, saying, you have no idea who this person is. This person is Krishna. He's the personality of Godhead who's descended to give the holy name to everyone. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, whoa, wait a minute. You're saying this young sannyasi is Krishna. In spiritual matters, we only speak with reference to scripture. Can you cite the scripture that says the evidence that he's the personality of Godhead? And he cited many scriptures and said, but what's the use of citing scripture for a person like you? You're so unfortunate. The personality of God is in your own home and you can't recognize because your heart, from studying so many scriptures, have become so hard, like a dry oil cake. May that day come when Lord Chaitanya gives him your mercy, and then you'll understand who he is. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, don't get so angry. We're family members. We're just having a conversation. Don't get so hot under the collar here. And with that, the associates of Lord Chaitanya and his friends came. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is your sannyas name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Excuse me. Sri Krishna Chaitanya was his sannyas name. You're just a young man, and your features are so beautiful. How will you maintain your vows of sannyas? It'll be very difficult unless you have high learning, which I can give you. So if you wish, I can teach you. I can teach you Vedanta Sutra and all the Vedas. Just say it and I'll be at your service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that would be very kind of you if you would so kindly instruct me, give me protection that way. So it was arranged the next day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was a sannyasi, he sat on a little elevated seat. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sat before him on the floor, little straw mat on the floor, and was instructing him all day long. And the next day, all day long, and 7 days, morning till night, all day long. And Lord Chaitanya said nothing. So on the eighth morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, how come you don't say anything? Because you're speaking nothing, I can't discern whether you're understanding or not understanding Vedanta Sutra. Please speak. Lord Chaitanya said, I understand Vedanta Sutra very well, but with every word that you speak, it's covering the meaning more and more. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, if you think you understand Vedanta Sutra, then you explain it to me. And the explanation given by Lord Chaitanya was so concise, so clear, so perfect, that Mr. Super Scholar said, "This is brilliant. I never heard such an explanation as this before." And there's another very nice verse I'd like to hear you explain, the Atmarama verse. It's a very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you're my superior. You please explain. So Sarvabhauma said, okay, I'll explain. And he explained this verse in 16 different ways. Because you know how scholars are. This means that. That means something else, and something else means something else. Some indirect meaning. 16 different ones. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, basically, how'd you like it? And Lord Chaitanya said, well, basically the same thing. I understand the Atmarama verse very well, but your words are covering the meaning. Well, maybe you can explain. So Lord Chaitanya explained, there's a whole chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in 64 different ways, not repeating any one of the 16 ways of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained the meaning of the Atmarama verse. One of the appreciations I have of this Leela is, in different ways, Lord Chaitanya interacted with different persons based upon their nature. Because Sarvabhauma was a scholar, his interaction with him was on the platform of scholarship. He ran circles around him, but not just in a show-off manner, but rather through scholarship, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not only understand the meaning that he never understood before, but he could understand, and he said to Lord Chaitanya, you're not just a learned person. You're the personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya smiled and then disclosed his form as the personality of Godhead. If you go someday to Puri, hopefully that will happen. Many of you will have that opportunity. Visit the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and you'll see this form of Sadbhuja, six-armed form, where two hands are holding the flute, like Kishori and Kishori, holding his flute. Two hands of Lord Ramachandra holding bow and arrow. And the other two hands holding danda and kamandalu, the water pot of a sannyasi. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw that form, he fell to the ground with his arms outstretched before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, realizing that he was the personality of Godhead. Later, many nice things happened in between. Later, he expressed to Gopinathacharya, his brother-in-law, it's by your mercy that I've gotten the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, because you're very dear to him, and because you're kind upon me, I've gotten Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because otherwise, I was lost in a world of speculation, thinking in a very prideful way, I know so much. We all know people like this. They think they know so much and they're filled with pride. I was just like that. But because of your kindness upon me, now I can understand what a foolish position I was in and what a merciful personality is Lord Chaitanya. Many things happened in between, but the part that because time is moving, the part that I wanted to express is he invited Lord Chaitanya to come to his home for lunch. He was a householder. He was married. So his wife prepared very nice prasadam, and Lord Chaitanya came to his home for lunch. And upon leaving, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wrote two verses. Then it wasn't like, didn't send a text message or an email or even write it on paper. It was on leaves with an instrument, would make marks on a leaf, and so he had such leaves prepared. And he wrote two verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. And he gave them to two of Lord Chaitanya's associates as like a gift. One was Jagatananda and the other was Damodar. So they were very happy. Here's some nice words glorifying Lord Chaitanya from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Mr. Super Scholar, that's now a devotee, a very humble devotee. As they were going to see Lord Chaitanya, a third person, Mukunda Datta, crossed their path. He asked to see what those verses were, and knowing what Lord Chaitanya would do, hearing some glorification, he would destroy them. So he wrote them on the side of a wall. And then he gave the leaves, the verses back to Jagadananda and Damodar, who then proceeded to give it to Lord Chaitanya, who read it and shred it into little pieces. But it was too late, because the verses were recorded already. And I want to recite them. One of them, many of our devotees know this verse. It's through the test of time, 500 years, they still endure as verses that are specifically describing Lord Chaitanya in glorification of him. So the first of the two verses reads, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam Purushak Puranam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Buddhi Yastam Aham Prapadye. So the first line, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. You, Lord Chaitanya, have come to teach devotion to Krishna. And that devotion to Krishna has the effect of detachment from non-Krishna or Maya or illusion. Note, the process of devotion that is being taught here is detachment from the illusory sense of enjoying objects of this world. Rather, the objects of this world can be offered unto Krishna, not in the mood of enjoying those objects, but in the mood of offering them to Krishna. So detachment from material consciousness as a result of attachment to Krishna consciousness. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam. Shiksha means instructions. Shikshartam Ekam Purusha Purana. You're teaching devotion to the supreme original personality of Godhead. And the means for doing that is through this awakening of the mood of service to Krishna through chanting Krishna's holy name. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. You've accepted this name and this form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Kripam Buddhi means you're an ocean of mercy. And unto you I surrender. Yas Tvam Aham Prapadye. Then the second verse, let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like honey, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. This system has almost been lost due to the influence of time. This process of devotional service to Krishna is very ancient. I'll just share this little autobiographical thing. When I became a devotee, started practicing Krishna consciousness, my parents thought, he's young, he's going through a phase, he'll get over it. And then when I didn't get over it, they started wondering, okay, what is this thing that he's into? And they shared this with me later. They said, although it's, the form is different, the essence is the same, and it's very ancient and genuine. They did their homework. They told me later. They checked it out. And just as being appreciated here by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the system of devotional service is very, very, since the beginning of time. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those of you that got your Bhagavad Gita from your first visit here, Krishna says, from the very beginning of creation, I sent forth this knowledge, this means of rendering sacred things of this world by offering them to the Supreme, by the process of sacrifice unto the Supreme. It's the most ancient of all teachings. But it had become lost. And similarly, in the world today, even in the spiritual marketplace today, there are so many teachings and teachers that may not so much give a teaching of fix your consciousness upon God. I was visiting, I was visiting University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. And I made a presentation one time on meditation, on transcendental sound or sacred sound. Chanting. It's a nice way of saying chanting. Meditation on sacred sound. And after the presentation, there were three students that came up right away and all wanted to have some discussion. And one of them said that when I do meditation, I find it's really powerful, but it's really hard to keep my mind fixed. Do you have any recommendation? I said, wow, that's a nice question. And then immediately one of the other persons said, I just found something on the internet, and they have this little device. I'll give you the website, and you go there, and it gets the vibrations of your mind waves going, and you can sink it in, and makes it really easy to meditate. I said, yeah, really, what's that? I mean, the point is that the process of meditation, as given in the spiritual context, it's bringing the soul, that's who we are, in contact with the Supreme, who we're part of, like the spark is part of the fire. So you bring the spark again in the vicinity of the fire, and it glows again if it's been some distance from the fire. It's not a mechanical technique, some little device you hook on your ears and then you can meditate better. It's the soul to the Supreme Soul. And that's what Lord Chaitanya has given. That's what this chanting process is. So that's what he gave. And the means is this sacred sound, the names of God. And by chanting the names of God, one can connect directly with God and bring your consciousness to the topmost position that a soul can attain in this lifetime or any lifetime. And Lord Chaitanya very kindly gave that process. We invite you all, as you heard those that were here for the announcements, this coming 3rd of July evening, starting then, Harinam, chanting downtown, all day long on the 4th of July, as early as you can get here, 4:30 in the morning till 8:30 at night, packed with festival of the holy name, different ways of presenting the holy name of Krishna. And that's not enough. The next day we're going to do more of the same, and the next day we're going to do more of the same. Only different varieties of doing the same. And then on Sunday, all day long, if you come here on Sunday morning, you'll see, you'll feel like you're entering into a beehive. Beehive in the sense that there's a buzzing sound of bees, that their wings are going like this. Only it's devotees whose lips are going to be chanting the holy name together, japa. There will be as many people in the temple room on Sunday morning as they're here today, chanting Krishna's holy name together, ensemble. Please come. Join the happy experience of sacred sound vibration that will carry you to Krishna. The sound is Krishna, so you, by hearing and vibrating the sound, you'll be in contact with Krishna. You'll become purified and you'll feel something very, very special. On Friday, it's the 4th of July evening. 4th of July evening. If you're not doing something else, come here. And if you're planning on doing something else, give that up and do this instead. We're going to have a Harinam Yajna, you know, a big whoop-de-doo right here in the temple room. There's like lots of devotees coming together in a circle, in a circle, in a circle, in a circle, and just energizing each other through the resounding chanting of Krishna's holy name. Bring your dancing shoes with you too, or your bare feet ready to dance, whatever. It'll be ecstatic. There are devotees that are going to be coming from places all around, distant places, because it's a Krishna party. It's a big festival. Please join the party. You're invited. You're triple invited. You're our family members. So you please come and join the Krishna family party. It'll be very nice. And then we'll see you again on Sunday night next week too.